So in our parikrama of Mumbai, we have come to a very sacred place called Vrindavan. Actually, the house was built by Sri P.L. Sethi. And it is a holy place because Srila Prabhupada stayed here with so many of his early disciples. And also, and then later, Mr. Sethi and his family stayed here. They're also green devotees. When Mr. Sethi and his family first moved here, they arranged a program right here, and Srila Prabhupada came. And I don't remember everything he said, but one thing he said struck me. He was quoting a verse that said, in that home where there is no quarreling between husband and wife, and where there is no wastage of food grains, in that house the goddess of fortune resides. So if you want to know how to get the goddess of fortune, reside in your home, there is the instruction. So, even before the house was ready, Srila Prabhupada and some disciples moved in one floor up. Because at the time, the Hare Krishna land was in dispute, and there was no proper place for Srila Prabhupada to stay there. So Mr. Sethi offered that he could stay here. Now, maybe I should have asked earlier, but how many don't speak English? Someone say in Hindi, how many don't? Ask how many don't speak English. Translate only one sentence. How many do not speak?
How many do not speak English? तो इंग्लिश अगर समझ में आ रही है तो आप तो कोई बात नहीं है, हिंदी चाहिए तो हाथ ऊंचा कर थ्री फोर पीपल ओनली
सो व्हाट शुड वी डू अबाउट देम You can take notes,
yeah.
And when it's all over, you can meet them in one corner. And
I will request, if possible, take this mic. This is very good in compression because the sound is not
here. Yeah.
Yeah. So this mic is better than that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. There's a whole history about Hare Krishna Land of Jehu. But the owner of the land, Mr. A.B. Nair, entered an agreement to sell the land to Srila Prabhupada under certain conditions. And one of the conditions was that Srila Prabhupada should get permission from the charity commissioner for the sale. And prior to entering the agreement with Srila Prabhupada, Mr. Nair had entered an agreement to sell the front portion of the land, which was vineyard, to another party named Chadanov. And one of the conditions for that sale was that Chadanov had to get permission from the municipality to subdivide the property. And apparently Mr. Nair used his influence and money to make sure that Chandanam didn't get the permission, get the subdivision. And so on that grounds, Mr. Nair canceled the agreement and kept the money that Chandanal had given him. So with us, he did a similar thing. Apparently, again, he used his influence and money to make sure that we didn't get the permission from the charity commissioner. And then he canceled the agreement and was keeping our money, Srila Prabhupada's money. So there were many intrigues, and many of the significant events in the history of the struggle took place in this house, one flight up. where Srila Prabhupada was staying. One of the significant events was that after the sales agreement was cancelled by Nair, he died, and his widow, Mrs. Nair, she was already the owner, actually the land was in her name, so she was the authority. And she was asking for a much higher price to revive the agreement. So for a long time it seemed like we didn't really have any friends in high places in the government. But then we heard that the mayor of Bombay, Ranji Bhai Ganatra, had spoken favorably about us in a big public gathering at Chapati. And he said that people say so many things about the Hare Krishna people, but they're actually good people, and they are victims of bad people. So I was encouraged by this, and I decided to see the mayor in his office. And when I went to his office, I was very encouraged because there was a sign in Devanagari script over the door, Satyam Eva Jayate, truth will prevail. So I thought that this is a very good sign for us. So we met him, and he was ready to help in any way he could. So when it came to negotiating with Mrs. Nair how to revive the sales agreement, he came. And so Srila Prabhupada was sort of this end of this corner. And Mrs. Nair was like the opposite corner. There were a few rooms. And Mayor Ganatra was going back and forth between the two rooms. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, how much are you willing to give? And Srila Prabhupada gave a figure and said, I think you're going to have to go higher, but I'll see what she says. So then he went to her and said, you know, how much are you willing to accept? So he was going back and forth, saying, telling us that she wanted, you know, 25 lakhs, 20 lakhs, some huge amount that was way more than the original agreement. And it seemed like there was an insurmountable gap. It was just going on, it was like agonizing. And then Suddenly Mr. Ganatra said, you both agree. And what he had been doing, I think, is understating how much we were willing to pay to get her to come down and overstating how much she was demanding to get us to come up. And it was like going back and forth and back. For me, it was agonizing. I don't know about for Prabhupada, but for us, it was definitely agonizing because it seemed like there was such a huge gap that it could never be compromised. And then he said, you both agree. So that was a great achievement. That took place upstairs. So then, the next question was what to do about Chaganlal and Sons. Chaganlal was not the man's name, it was the name of the company as Chaganlal and Sons. But the actual owner, there was a father and son, but you know, the real experienced businessman, real, you could see he's a real seasoned, shrewd veteran, was named Shantilal Mehta. So he came here to this house upstairs to meet Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, as I mentioned, he was experienced in the world. And I believe that he took Srila Prabhupada as like a simple sadhu. And he thought this was going to be very easy. So he came in, you know, sat down, he was like very, you could see he was like very confident and assured of himself. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, so who will take the land? And Srila Prabhupada, without skipping a beat, like without a moment's hesitation, said, I will. And Shantilal Mehta was really taken aback. So then he came back, you know, as a businessman, and he said, well, my claim is 1,25,000 rupees, which is a lot back then. And it was quite a bit more than he had paid Nair. My claim is 1,25,000. Prabhupada said, my claim is 3 lakhs. So Mr. Mehta was like totally bewildered. He wasn't expecting such a such a formidable negotiator across the table. So then they discussed and settled on a figure which was a little less than that Mr. Mehta had proposed. And then the meeting was over. And I was, you know, often with Srila Prabhupada's important guests, I would receive them and bring them up, and then I would accompany them down to their cars. So as I was walking down the stairs with Mr. Mehta, he couldn't believe what happened. He kept shaking his head and saying, your guru is Pukka. Your guru is Pukka. There were also some very sweet devotional moments here. One took place one morning fairly early. Srila Prabhupada, you know, was sitting in his room with in his usual fashion, he would have a low table and an asana on the floor, like a cushion floor. And he was discussing, he spent a lot of time discussing the Juhu land. What to do about the Juhu land. And other indirectly related issues. Like one issue was the devotees' visas, what to do about their visas. So he was discussing with some of the leading devotees. And this laborer entered the room, and like we were like really surprised. I say laborer because he, you know, is quite muscular, sinewy. He has just like a little cloth around his waist, and a little darker complexion. And we didn't know what he was going to do, and he entered the room and went right up to Srila Prabhupada's desk and placed a big bunch of flowers on his desk and offered obeisance, put his head on the floor and stood up and looked at Srila Prabhupada and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada was so moved by this act that he couldn't speak. It's like he was, he just looked down and closed his eyes. But maybe a little choked up. And he quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta praya chichita. Krishna says, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, I will accept it. And Srila Prabhupada said that even Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepts some leaves and flowers if they are offered with devotion. And I am just an insignificant living entity. I am just a fraction of Krishna. So how much overwhelmed I will be by such an offering of love and devotion. And there were many instructive interactions with the devotees. In those days, we didn't have a telephone. Not everyone had a telephone then. It took a long time. When we first came to India, but I'm not saying it's true now, but Srila Prabhupada said that the Indian politicians are the most corrupt in the world. And that to get a telephone, you have to bribe a minister 5,000 rupees. So there weren't that many telephones around, and we didn't have one here. But Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to get a message through to one of our advocates. He was like a devotee, he was a good friend, named Sushil Asnani. And it was probably 6 in the morning. It was just still dark. Maybe even before 6. And Tamam Krishna Goswami had to go maybe door to door in the neighborhood to find someone who would let him use their phone. So he phoned, and Mrs. Asnani answered. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, I have a message for Mr. Asnani from Srila Prabhupada. So she said, just a second. Then she came back and gave the message that Mr. Asnani is doing his puja and he can't come to the phone now. So we should find that later. So we were waiting, and Tamal Krishna Goswami came back. And he was in a bit of an angry mood. And he said, you know, the pure devotee wants to give him a message, and he's saying he's busy doing his puja, and he can't come to the telephone. But Srila Prabhupada tried to pacify him or balance his response. And he said, actually, in the beginning stage of devotional service, it's good to be very rigid like that and to maintain your standard. So yeah, there were not many things happened. But I think I will go ahead to tell some more about Mr. Sethi and what happened at his home after he moved in with his family. In the meantime, one of the tenants at Hare Krishna Land, Mr. Menon. That was a two-way deal. One of the tenants wanted to leave, and so we got that apartment for Srila Prabhupada. So he was finally able to have a place to stay at Hare Krishna Land. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So Mr. Sethi moved here, which was good for us because he was closer to the land. And by profession, he was a builder. And we were involved with construction, and he was a devotee also. So he did much of the early work at Hare Krishna Land. Srila Prabhupada said that we should immediately construct a compound wall around the property. So he took that up, and it was sort of a nice design with piles and the Maha Mantra
piles of the Maha Mantra at different intervals. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us, because we were having trouble getting permission for the actual temple and ashram and complex. So Mr. Sethi was able to get permission to add one floor on the top of the existing buildings at the back of the land, which had now been demolished to make room for phase two. And so Srila Prabhupada, so Mr. Sethi took up that work. And when the first two were what we call the E block and the F block, they were the larger ones on the far side of the garden. And so Mr. Sethi took Srila Prabhupada up to see the quarters that he had built. And Srila Prabhupada gave instructions, like he said, everyone would sleep on the floor, on straw mats, simple bedding. And he said every morning they should roll up their bedding and wash the floor place where they slept. But the real striking statement that Srila Prabhupada made then was he told Mr. Sethi that it is the duty of the spiritual master to provide accommodations for the disciples. And he said that just as you are building these rooms for my disciples here at Hare Krishna land, Lord Krishna is making your rooms ready in Vaikuntha. So, then there were many things happened. I wanted to tell the story, but I need some help on this, of when Mr. Sethi was very sick and he thought he had to go to London to be operated.
Do you know that? And then later, Prabhupada said he had to hide, fight with, And then he said, this is the part of that I, Prabhupada said he had to fight with Krishna. So do you think you can tell this?
No. So now we're fortunate to have with us, it's a big family, all devotees, and this is Varun Sethi, Mr. P.L. Sethi's grandson. So he'll tell that story.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. So this goes like when my grandfather, he wasn't too well, and he was advised by the doctors to go and operate, get it operated outside India, in a foreign country.
And get what operated?
He had a lot of back and hip problems. So for that he needed to go and get an operation done, because they said that over here he could be really critical, on the verge of, in fact, losing his life. My grandfather had already made all the arrangements and he was about to leave in the next couple of days. The Prabhupada came there and Prabhupada said that you don't need to go anywhere. So all these things that they have put around you, the neck holders and the back straps and all that, you just need to take them out and just throw them away from the window. My grandfather was taken aback. He was like, it's such a big thing, you know. I mean, the doctor is saying that I won't be alive, and your Prabhupada is saying that just throw them out. So, all the family members were standing there, they were there wondering what to do. And grandfather said that, I'll do what Prabhupada says. So he said, throw them out. I will not go there, cancel all my tickets and all that. So Prabhupada sat there, he chanted over there, next to my grandfather. And then later when Prabhupada came to the temple, so one of the devotees asked Prabhupada that you saved Piyoseji's life. So he said, no. Actually, over there at that time, at the spur of the moment, I said that nothing will happen to you. But later I had to come back and I had to fight with Krishna. That I have given my word, now you have to keep mine. Prabhupada actually fought with Krishna for grandfather's life. And it's not just that occasion. Even when he left his body, whatever Prabhupada had promised him, my grandfather experienced all those things. So, Prabhupada's mercy has always been there.
So, I'll ask you to speak about the end. I've never been here.
So, so right, so the sales agreement was revived. Anyway, that's another chapter. It was revived and then Prabhupada's disciples canceled it. So, from a certain point of view, technically, we were trespassers. But not really, because Radharasa Bihari were there and everything belongs to them. So, as it happened one morning, a big truck with municipal workers came to Hare Krishna Land, and there was another, like a paddy wagon with police constables, and so I rushed forward and I said, what can I do for you? And he said, this temple is unauthorized and we're going to demolish it. So I said, no, we have permission. The permission's expired. I said, no, it's not. I met the municipal commissioner and he extended the permission. And I can show you in my file the letter from the municipal commissioner. So I went and got it and showed it to him, but he was not at all interested. And he ordered the demolition to begin. So all these municipal workers came out with sledgehammers and pickaxes, and they started to dismantle the small temple we had. And one by one, as the devotees went to obstruct them, they were taken and put in the police paddy wagon. And then there was one lady, very heroic, named Maitri. She's a quite heavy set. So she positioned herself in front of the doors to the deities. And there was still a little respect, because she was a woman. But then they came and they, like, they grabbed her by the hair and they dragged her away. They put us all in the paddy wagon and took us to the Santa Cruz police station and lock up. And it was a horrible moment. There was but one devotee named Manasvi Das, he was actually Gujarati, he was one of the few Indian devotees, qualified Indian devotees. So apparently he was sort of hiding in the bushes, watching it all. And then he, eventually he put a call through to Bal Thackeray. And Bal Thackeray, being a very religious Hindu and politician, saw this as a cause. So he phoned, as we heard it later, he phoned the municipal commissioner and said, you know, what's this? They're demolishing a Hindu temple. And the police commissioner, the municipal commissioner tried to say something, he said, and Bal Thackeray replied, don't forget who owns this city. Okay. Okay, Balasap. Okay. So he phoned the ward office, K ward, and the ward officer, the head man in the whole office, he came running to Hare Krishna man to stop the demolition. And then, we were allowed to leave the Santa Cruz police station. We came back and we were still in anxiety because we didn't know exactly what had happened. But we saw that the deities were standing, they hadn't been touched. There were a few little pieces of the asbestos sheets had been removed, but the deities were not touched. And there was a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev in the triangular section above the door, and it was just a little bit askew that he was there, and I thought, okay, Lord Nrisimhadev protected them. So then there was a big campaign to persuade the municipal corporation to give us permission to rebuild the temple. At that time, the Shiv Sena party was, I guess they were in the majority. So there is the most powerful committee is called the Standing Committee. So they condemned the act of the municipality and I think they said that the temple should be rebuilt at the municipality's expense, something like that. But it wasn't, it wasn't so easy. It was complicated. We heard that, so in one meeting, it was one of those things, in one meeting, one friend made the point that actually we don't need to get permission to rebuild it because we already have the permission. So all we need to do is rebuild it. We don't need the permission. All this time we were canvassing people to get support, to get permission to rebuild it. So that was on a Friday. It was very hard to get, it was Thursday night. It was very hard to get construction materials, especially cement, like cement quota. when the first there's a video series called Following Srila Prabhupada by Yadu Bharadas. I hope everyone has it and watches it. So it was coming out one DVD at a time, and when His Holiness Niranjan Swami was staying with me in Santa Barbara, we watched maybe number three, whatever it was. And it described Srila Prabhupada's first visit to Vrindavan with his devotees. There was a car, I guess a car for Prabhupada and a bus for the devotees. And the devotees were so filled with eagerness and anticipation that they're going to Vrindavan for the first time with Srila Prabhupada. And they were waiting what Srila Prabhupada was saying. So for most of the journey, until maybe they were just on the outskirts of Raj, Srila Prabhupada was silent. He was just chanting japa. And then he cleared his throat. He was going to speak. And the devotees were just waiting to hear what Prabhupada would say. Cleared his throat and he said, "Cement. We have to get a quota for more cement." And when Niranjan Swami heard that, he just laughed and said, "Srila Prabhupada." And it was like so much like Srila Prabhupada. So yeah, so we have that in Bombay. But Mr. Sethi said, "I have some cement baths for my projects. We can use that, borrow it, we can use that." And Sadaji Whitlaw, who was also very instrumental, his office became like our camp for the during the campaign. He also, his main business, or his most visible business, was his sweet ball shops. The sweet shops, Punjabi Chandu, how to buy Karachi Wala. Prabhupada called him the sweet ball king. But I think he also did some building on the side, so he said he had some cement bags. And so it was all set that we would begin with. We just rebuild it. We weren't going to wait for anyone's permission. We're just going to rebuild it. And Mrs. Nair came to know. And I can only guess that she has spies. Otherwise, how could she have come to know? So she went to the court. This was Friday. She went to the court to get an injunction to stop the reconstruction of the temple on the grounds that it was her property. She didn't give us permission to build it, whatever. And the way these things work, there's like an injunction, then an interim injunction, like a temporary injunction until there's time to hear the whole case. So her appeal came to Justice Nine, who had been a chief guest at our Pandal program. And he said, "I will not hear this case without the other side being present." He said, "Well, at least grant an interim injunction." He said, "No, I will not grant any injunction without hearing the other side. So we got the news. So we knew we had like 2 days to rebuild the temple, because Monday morning the case was going to come up for hearing. So just about that time, Satsvarupa Das Goswami had come to visit for a few days, and I really very much appreciated Satsvarupa Das Goswami, who was like my first temple president when I joined in Boston. And, you know, he's very humble and, So the construction began, and all of Mrs. Nair's people, allies, started coming. Her lawyer came and tried to like serve some sort of notice, like threatening notice, and Pushpakant Matre, the local corporator, who was very close to Nair, who was like Nair's adopted son, and he was in the Congress Party. So he came, and he we were all there, and he said, you know, anyway, you can go ahead and build the temple, but in the night I'm going to come with 100 gundas and break it down. And at that stage, Mr. Sethi turned to his son, Brij Mohan. He said, Brij Mohan, bring my revolver. And one other one. My pistol. And then he told Matre, 100 gundas is not enough. I have 250 cartridges, so you have to bring at least 251. He was like a real, he had a kshatriya side. He was a great devotee, but he was a real kshatriya. So, you know, they were working, we had to work through the night. And so Tamal Krishna Goswami told me, you know, I want you to stay up all night and make sure, you know, the work is done. So, I'm not sure exactly everything that I had in my mind at the time. Probably I didn't want to have to stay up all night. But I was very sort of enamored of Satsvarupa Maharaj's persona, you could say, and her personality. And so I said to Tamal Krishna Goswami that, you know, I don't know about this. So here's Brij Mohan, just in time. So we're discussing the weekend when we had to rebuild the temple.
Srila Prabhupada ki, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj ki.
So can you go back in time to that weekend in 1973? This was when Matre came and said, you can build the temple. But I'll come with 100 gundas and break it down. So then what happened?
First of all, I apologize to His Holiness Viraj Maharaj for being late. And then I'll go back to 1973. If I commit a mistake, I may be forgiven for that. I'll try to tell you the truth, the facts which have taken place during that period. It so happened that myself, my father and my mother, we had come for an outing in the weekend to Juhu Beach. And after strolling for some time on the Juhu Beach, we thought of visiting the temple. And when we came to the temple, we saw that the small hut where the temple was there in the initial stages, it was demolished by BMC people. And as far as my memory works, the description given to us of the demolition by the BMC squad, it was really horrifying. Not only the temple was demolished, it so happened that they wanted to take away the deities also. But I remember that lady, I think if I am not wrong, it was Mithaliya Mataji.
Yeah.
She was there and she just bounced before the deity and stopped the BMC people from taking away the deities. And it so happened, again and again, the BMC people, they pulled the hairs of the Mithaliya Mataji so that she doesn't obstruct. But I am very proud of that lady, that devotee. She never allowed to take away the deities, and ultimately the deities were there. And when we saw the temple in a bad shape, it was fully demolished. And it so happened it was Saturday. And I think Shridhar Swami was there at that time. Shridhar Maharaj was there at that time. And we thought of rebuilding the temple on the same day. Because even if we could succeed in building the temple, then probably we may get a good order from the court. That is what we are expecting. And when we started the work, before starting the work, my father told me to get a gun and a revolver from our house. That time we were staying in Goregaon. So upon his instructions, I got the gun, I got the revolver, and since our main business at that time was construction, so we had all the manpower. We had the materials for rebuilding the temple. Everything was arranged. We immediately hired a truck, brought the sand, brought the cement, brought the cement sheets, brought the welding machine. And when we started the work, some gundas came there and they told us, look, you cannot rebuild this temple. It has been demolished by the authority that is against law and municipal constitution. That time, my father, he told those gundas, see, I have got 50 to 100 cartridges with me. So if you want to demolish this temple, or if you want to attack us, it should be at least more than 100 people. Because I have got cartridges sufficient for 100 people. So with the gun in my hand and revolver in Daddy's hand, we started the war. Srila Prabhupada ki, this we could do not because we had something in us, but because with the blessings of Prabhupada. Only with his blessings and his mercy we could start the temple work. He started the construction. And if I am not wrong, Indra Devta was very happy. The entire night it was raining like cats and dogs. And in that rain also, we never stopped the work. It went on. And Sridhar Maharaj, quietly sitting in the jeep and chanting Mahamantra. It so happened that one of us asked Sridhar Maharaj, Maharaj, why you are sitting in the jeep? He jokingly said, if anybody comes, I could run away with this. So the temple was rebuilt. We had a Mangal Aarti there in the morning, 4 o'clock. At least all of you should say jai. Radha Rasa Bihari Ji ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
If your conscience is clear, if your intentions are clear, I know that the Lord is with you, your Guru Maharaj is with you, nobody can dare touch you. And we had a Mangal Aarti there. Then the Monday morning, these people went to the court for getting an injunction order against the temple construction. And it so happened, we were so lucky enough, the judge was, if I remember, Justice Nan. Once upon a time, that Justice Nan was my father's advocate. So when justice man looked at my father in the court, that is what I have been told. I was not present in the court. So they appeared before the justice that we cannot construct anything. But justice man was very kind enough to give the order, status quo. Whatever is built, is built. You cannot demolish. Shrila Prabhupada ki. So this is the short fact of that temple in the initial stages. And believe me, at that time, we had seen the devotees who had really, really sacrificed their lives for building this temple. Devotees like Madhu Veeza, Maharaji is here, and many other devotees. Now what we are seeing is a palace. That time, it was a barren land. Chatai huts were there. Devotees used to sleep in those huts. The roos, the ghouls like rats used to come and bite the devotees. But they were so strong. Prabhupada had made them so strong. In spite of all this happening, they didn't run away from the job. Otherwise, if I had some difficulties, I think I would have run away from it. I would have said, no. What is this? Is this the light? Where the rats are biting? In the morning when the devotees used to wake, I mean, they say, either they used to breathe from the toes or they used to breathe from the cheeks. Any part of the body. This was the sacrifice of those devotees, which we should never, never forget. So this is a small, which Maharaji had asked me to give a brief description. And I have not elaborated anything. These are the facts of this temple. Of course, we had many other difficulties also, which Maharaji also had faced. Time and again, when we used to put up the plants before the PMC, somebody used to go and complain that the plants were again rejected. Again, we used to do. These things happen. But I tell you, the devotees were very strong enough. Very, very strong. And this credit goes to divine grace. His blessings were not there, it would have been very difficult. This is a small description I have. If I have committed some mistake or if I have omitted something, please forgive me.
She's asking me how old I was. I said I was 25 years
old.
I was that time strong enough. I was a student union leader of Bombay University. And the student force was with me. Yeah, he says I am still strong. I remember the incidents. Before 3-4 years? Wo jo DCP ne reject kar diya tha.
I remember an incident recently which so happened that we had applied for the permission for the Rath Yatra. And the Deputy Commissioner of Traffic, he rejected our application. He said, see, if you want to take out the Rath Yatra, you will have to carry on up to, from 12 to 4 I will give you the permission, after 4 o'clock I cannot give you the permission. So, I remember Surdas ji, he went to the DCP and he explained him everything. He said, I told you now, nothing is being my office. He was that strong. He was 6 feet tall, DCP Bajal. So then I told Surdas Prabhuji, now let me go in. And then to the fact, I went inside. He told me, yes, what do you want? And I told him, this is the way you treat the public people. I have come to you for something. At least ask me to sit down. Then you ask me what is the problem or for what you have come. Then he said, tell me what is the problem. I said, see, I have come to ISKCON for the permission. He said, just now your people had come and I had rejected, saying that you can get the permission up to 4 o'clock. So I told him, look, all these years we have been organizing Rath Yatra and never we have got permission up to 4 o'clock. We always get permission up to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. He said, he showed me the application. He's telling it. Who had signed this application? Myself. I told him, I have signed it. Look, Mr. Sethi, if you go beyond 4 o'clock, I will see that you are arrested. So what I told him, you arrest me and be ready for the consequences. Straight away I told him, be ready for the consequences. And I came out. I told him, if I have got something in me, I will see to it that the permission is given to us. So you are giving me a challenge? I said, no, I am not giving you a challenge. I am just informing you. So when I came out, suddenly the bell rang, you know, my mobile rang. And I said, hello. From the other side, she told me, Mr. Sethi, yes, Bindu Bhosle. Oh, where are you? I said, I am in the traffic department. Okay, be there, I am coming there. I have got some work with you. Well, I have also got some work with you. So when she came, I described, she immediately told me, okay, let's go. So we went to R. R. Patil's house, who was the home minister then, because she is from the same party, political parties. See how things turn. And from there, R. R. Patil instructed his PA to call Bajal and ask him to come with the record of last 20 years. I would like to see what was the timing all these 20 years. And we were very sure we never got a permission up to 4 o'clock. It is always 8 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock. Last year it was 10 o'clock. So, when that PA called, the DCP got a little shaky. So he told, what's the problem? So no, those ISKCON people had come. Okay, you send them, I will give the permission. And since I think it was Monday morning, no, it was the same evening. 5 o'clock I reached back there and he instructed his junior, you sign and give them the permission.
He had an ego problem for not signing. So I told him, Mr. Bejal, yeah, I got the permission. He said, after all, you brought in political pressure. Well, I didn't bring the political pressure. It got arranged somehow or the other. It was with blessings of Radha Rastra Bihariji and our Guru Maharaj. So we could get the permission. It was so arranged. We never opted for that. You see? But it was so arranged. And one evening after that, I went to receive my daughter from the airport. And Bejal came in his car. He stopped the car and he saw me walking across the street. Sethi, Sethi! Who is calling me? I looked back, oh, Bejal. Arey, Sethi ji, you are still angry with me? No, I am not angry with you. So, only thing is, I would request all those present here should not be afraid of anything. If your conscience are clear and if you follow the instructions of your Guru Maharaj, nothing can make you down. I can assure you that. Hare Krishna.
Hare I learned some things I never heard before. Talk about, yes. You reminded me of the rain. I remembered after you mentioned it. I never heard the story about Sridhar Swami in the jeep.
He was very much there.
Yeah. Because Tamal Krishna Goswami also, at least the first night, He asked me to stay up and be there and make sure the work was done. And Satsarupa Maharaj had just visited. And for some reason I just said to Tamal Krishna Goswami that I really like Satsarupa Maharaj. He's so humble. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, your humility will be staying up all night and making sure the temple is built. I thought that's true. I mean, what's the meaning of humility if you're not ready to surrender and do the needful? But yeah, Mr. Sethi had so much faith in Srila Prabhupada. There were a couple of other times after we finally got the permission. There was a question of whether we needed to put in piling,
yes,
to support the foundation. And the general system is that you have a company come and they drill to see how far down they get hard rock. And according to that, they decide if they need piles. So Mr. Sethi raised the question with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, you don't need piles. But Mr. Sethi wasn't completely sure. And they wanted to be thorough and systematic. So he had the company come. And they hardly drilled a few feet. And they hit such hard rock that the drill broke.
They got stuck up.
Oh, that stuck
up?
Oh. Yeah. And then Mr. Sethi said, Srila Prabhupada knows everything from the beginning. He said, we don't need piles. And you know, but Srila Prabhupada was also it was very hard to understand, but he was extremely observant and acute,
And he said that another building came up closer to the beach that didn't have piles. I don't know how he even knew it. I was certainly not aware of it. He said, so I knew that if they didn't need piles, we also. But anyway, it's like, another time a man greeted Prabhupada on that walk from the temple to the beach, and he'd never met Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately addressed him by name. He said, oh, you're so-and-so, and you do such-and-such. And the man was totally taken aback, you know, like, but Prabhupada knew everything. But then Prabhupada told us that when he would walk, he would see that same man on the balcony looking down. And on the balcony was a signboard with his name and advertising his services. So he said that. That was like in the old IAS or ICS exam. There was a question, how many cars are there on the Punjab Mail train? And Prabhupada knew the answer. And he said that an intelligent person, you know, when his mind is not occupied with some work, he's always observing things. So what, he just happened to, you know, count the number of cars on the Punjab Mail train, and he knew the answer. We knew a lot. I mean, there's so many things we could say.
No. It was not only at a particular where that drilling was carried out, only that part of the ground was made to dig. The entire ground was made to dig. And it, after it went, say, about 7, 8 feet or 10 feet, you could see as if somebody had laid that concrete, this thing, at that particular time. It was so hard. And so Maharaji said, see, I told you, piling is not required. We can construct on this one.
So, I think I'll just go back to what Srila Prabhupada said when the first floor was added on top of the existing buildings at the back.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada said to Satyaki, just as you're building these rooms for my disciples, Krishna's building your rooms for you in Vaikuntha. So, although I think I do need to sit with you and interview you for the book, because you were there for so much, I can't remember a lot. But I think it would be good for the devotees to hear about your father's glorious last days. And I think to begin, maybe to call on Guru. I think to begin this story on father's last days, to call on Guru. If you said it, you almost.
Now, about my father's last day?
Yeah. You know, my father was not feeling well. And just rightly said, that Maharaj ji had once said to my daddy, you are building house for these devotees and Krishna is building a house for you in Goloka. If I am not wrong, this I feel as a true fact. I think whatever Prabhupada says never goes wrong. It comes true. During the last days, my father was not feeling well. And we took him to the hospital. But before going to the hospital, he had a wish. If I could go to the temple, have a darshan about the three altars, Guru Maharaj, then I will go to the hospital. But when we visited the temple, that time the temple was closed. So we took him to the hospital. And in the hospital he spent about a week or so. Then the doctors advised, you can take your father back. And it's difficult to say that he may leave a month, he may leave for a week, or even more. We cannot say anything. So we came home. Was going on, the oxygen was there, the nurse was there. So I had a wish at that time. If some pure devotee could come and give some lecture, those wordings of Radhanath Maharaj. He said, Mr. Sethi, when Prabhupada's breath is lost, I was not there. But at least I am very much happy that I am here with you. You have served my spiritual master. And one who has served my spiritual master, if I am here to do something, it makes me feel very happy. These were the wordings of Radhanath Maharaj. And after 2-3 days, I thought, condition is going back to worse. So I phoned up Prajari Prabhu. I told him, Maharaj, I do not know what will happen, but at least I want that the few devotees should come to this place and do Akhanda Harinam. So they started the Akhanda Harinam. That Akhanda Harinam went on for the first 24 hours, and then my father began little, he started becoming little unconscious. But before he could become completely unconscious, he called me, Rishpon. Please arrange my baggage. I have to leave. I said, where do you have to go? Look, Prabhupada has come to take me. I have to go with him. He has made such wonderful arrangements. I have to leave. Before it gets dark, see that my baggage is packed. These were the wordings of my father. Now who comes to him? Because he wants to go to Golok Dham, and who will go take him to Golok Dham? His spiritual master. Isn't it? So Prabhupada himself comes to take him. And then he became unconscious. Rajari was here. I told Rajari Prabhu, my father's last wish was, before he went to the hospital, that he should visit the temple. But then he could not go. Okay. So never mind, what is there? We'll take him on a wheelchair. You call for the ambulance. Is it correct? So, we called for the ambulance. With all the oxygen mask was put up, we took him to the temple. When we reached the temple, when the wheelchair was being taken to the lobby, and then through that small gate inside the temple, that time it was almost about 7:30. 7:30 kirtan was going on, aarti was going on. And my father just opened his eyes. With the music of kartal and mridang, he also started clapping. And when he came before the deities, he bowed before the deities, all the three altars, and then before the Prabhupada. And then, see, he became so much conscious at that time. He looked to my mother and he just said, give me some money, I want to donate you. So whatever my mother had, she gave to my father, and my father placed that whatever money was there in the hands of Rajari Prabhu. I've got those pictures also. When he was brought to the temple on the wheelchair. And when he came out of the temple, Rajari told us, see, Rishpon, let Sethiji stay here in the temple. We would like, we'll be very happy if he stays in the temple. But then he again became unconscious. We brought him inside the temple. Brought him here. For 72 hours, Akhand Harinam was going on non-stop. 16th of February, night, 11 o'clock, 11:07, the breath is lost. That was, and after, say, half an hour or so, I think I will talk to you, and I described you, and you said, oh, this was Krishna my Vatavaranam, so you will directly go to Golok Dham. And you inquired how my mother is. How is everyone? That's it. And I'm sure, 100% sure,
Prabhupada has said, there's a house for you in Goloka. Definitely you'll be staying in Goloka.
My uncle has already described in the last few days my grandfather. A very interesting story which just came to my mind, and it goes back to my grandfather's father. And this was again a conversation that my great-grandmom had with Prabhupada when my grandfather was so actively involved in ISKCON. So my great-grandmom, she told Prabhupada that you've got so many people, why do you need my son? Spare him, you know. If you take him away with you, I'll be left with no son. So Prabhupada looked at her and he told her that, Mataji, why do you just take him as your son? We all are your son only. All these devotees are your son. So my great grandmother, she was very strong and very good debater as well. So she said, no, a son can only be a son, because during my last few days or family's last few days, only he's going to be with me. And Prabhupada just smiled. And a couple of years down the line, when my great-grandfather passed away, more than my grandfather, ISKCON devotees, and I believe Chete Guru was there that time, he served my great-grandfather. And my grandfather was like, Prabhupada's words have come true, you know. So it was not just my grandfather who received the mercy of Prabhupada, but also my great-grandfather. And Prabhupada's mercy has always been there on us. Like uncle said that he saw, he actually said that, why aren't you all putting a chair over there? Prabhupada has come. See, Krishna is standing over there. Why aren't you all offering him water? What are you all doing? And for a person who was actually almost in a coma, who could not speak, but he just saw this visual and he was so full of energy and strength that he was like, why are you not carrying any chair? Put a chair over there, Prabhupada is standing over there. And he was so full of energy that we could not just believe that he's the same person who was just lying there for hours and hours, not speaking anything. So I guess Prabhupada's mercy has always been there on us. Hare Krishna.
Now, Mrs. Sethi is sitting right here, and she was a fit match for Mr. Sethi. I don't know how much she's been able to understand, but I think it would be very illuminating for all of us if she could say a few words.
Yes, she will say.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That Guruji ki death hui thi, usi din raat ko Sethi ji ko sapna aaya. Sapne mein humko dusre din batate the ki sapne mein ek room hai, उसमें इतनी लाइट है कि बर्दाश्त नहीं होती, इतनी ज्यादा लाइट है, और गुरु जी सोए हुए हैं.
भाई महाराज जी कह रहे कि आप एक एक लाइन बोलिए तो उसका ट्रांसलेशन करें. Prabhupada passed away when he went to Golokhamrana. The same night my grandfather had a dream. And he didn't know, my grandfather did not know about Prabhupada leaving this material world. But he had a dream in which he saw numerous number of lights, a room full of lights and lights and lights. And that's what she said, that it was basically Prabhupada when he left this world, he actually made my grandfather do darshan of Krishna, because all through that light he only saw Krishna.
Prabhupada ji soye hue the
room mein. To Bhagwan Krishna aate hain.
She said that my grandfather also dreamt that Prabhupada is sleeping in his room and Lord Krishna comes to him.
तो कृष्ण भगवान सोने की खड़ाव लेके आते हैं.
So Lord Krishna has got golden footwear for Prabhupada.
So, वो प्रभुपाद जी को बोलते हैं कि भगत जी उठो, अब बहुत हो गया, अब चलो हमारे साथ.
So Lord Krishna tells Prabhupada that Prabhupada, Bhagat ji, you serve the Lord, now get up and come with me.
तो दूसरे दिन सेठी जी ने ये सपना हमको सुनाया कि प्रभुपाद जी गए हैं तो हमको भगवान के दर्शन करा दे.
So my grandfather next day he told everyone that Prabhupada left this world, but while going also he made us all take darshan of the Lord Krishna. महाराज जी पूछ रहे कि आपने प्रभुपाद जी के लिए क्या क्या किया था जब प्रभुपाद जी को मिले थे, क्या क्या सर्विस की थी उनके लिए.
इडली मेड हुआ सीस्ट में, इडली मेड हुआ था.
बहुत सालों की बात है, प्रभुपाद जी के जाने के बहुत साल पहले की बात है. एक मद्रासी डिवोटी उनके साथ होता था और वो इधर आता था. गुरुजी दही बड़ा, चटनी, सुक्का बड़ा बहुत पसंद करते
थे. A long time back, a Madrasi devotee used to come home and used to take dahi vada, sukka vada and chutney for Prabhupada.
Yeah. So, रोज से जितने दिन प्रभुपाद जी इधर रहते थे बॉम्बे में, वो रोज सवेरे 9 बजे आते थे, उनका ये नाश्ता दे के जाते थे.
Till the time Prabhupada was in Bombay, how many of the days he was here, it was ritual every morning 9 o'clock that devotee used to come and take this prasad for Prabhupada every day.
Yeah, that's still going on.
But the interesting part is, Maharaj, that she did not even know how to make medu vada and all this till the time Prabhupada told her. And she was really nervous the first time Prabhupada told her that make all this for me. And she didn't know how to make. And she just cooked. And the other day when she went and met Prabhupada and she asked her how was it, Prabhupada said, very nice. So that gave her more confidence and she started cooking more nicely for Prabhupada.
तब गुरुजी 18 दिन इस मकान में पहले गुरुजी ठहरे थे और 20-25 डिवोटी फार्मर. सो गुरुजी जब रह के गए इधर से, सुमति मुरार जी के उधर जगह थी, वहां गए.
First to move in was Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stayed here for 18 days with 25 of his disciples. And after that he went to Sumati Murarji's house, and there was a place for him.
So, 2 days ke baad Guruji ki phone aayi ke Sethi ji tum jaldi aa jao, sveri sveri, ekdam sveri.
So after 2 days Prabhupada called up my grandfather and asked him to come fast. He wants to talk to me.
So, हम दोनों गए नाइट सूट में, सेठी जी और मैं भी ऐसे ही वो ही कपड़े अचानक कपड़े भी नहीं बदले जाते थे वैसे और पैसे वैसे कुछ लेके नहीं गए.
So she said it was such a sudden call, they were not expecting. So in their night wear only, they just rushed to meet Prabhupada. They were not carrying anything.
So, one Sumati Maharaj ji name. Go, either go.
Mrs. Nair. Mrs. Nair.
Mrs. Nair. Bhajibhi.
So when they went over there, Mrs. Nair was sitting with Prabhupada.
वो पेपर लेके बैठे थे.
They were. She was sitting there with a paper in her hand.
गुरुजी, कृपा करो, ये पेपर ले लो. मेरे हस्बैंड मेरे सपने में आते हैं, तो बोलते हैं ये गुरुजी को पेपर दे दो.
So what she said, Mrs. Nair said that Guruji, please accept these papers, the land papers from me. My husband comes in my dreams and he asks me to go and give these papers to Prabhupada.
मेरे को बहुत मेरे हस्बैंड रोज तंग करते हैं कि रोज रात को सपने में आते
हैं. Mrs. Nair said that my husband is troubling me every night in my dreams. He's asking me to go and surrender these papers to Prabhupada.
So हम दोनों उधर ही थे जब उसने ये बात की.
So grandfather and grandma were there only when she said this thing to Prabhupada.
So Prabhupada ji बोले, बोलो सेठी अब क्या करें.
So Prabhupada asked my grandfather, he tells सेठी now what to do.
तो इन्होंने बोला ठीक है शिवजी जी ले लो पेपर.
So he said, take the papers.
हाँ. तो फिर ऐसा हुआ वो चली गई पेपर दे के मिसेज नायर.
मिसेज नायर लेफ्ट आफ्टर गिविंग द पेपर.
तो गुरु जी बोलते हैं कि इसका उद्घाटन होना चाहिए.
So Prabhupada said that now we should have an inauguration.
अब सेठी जी कुछ मतलब नर्वस जैसे हो गए कि अब मतलब मैं क्या दूं गुरु जी को उद्घाटन के लिए क्या शुरुआत करें.
So grandfather got a little nervous because he just went there in night wear. They both just went there in night wear. So he's like, now what can I offer to him? He started thinking, what can I give? I'm not carrying anything right now.
तो मेरे को बोलते हैं शिवजी जी कि अपनी चूड़ियाँ उतार के दे.
So grandfather saw that grandmom is wearing gold bangles in her hand. So he said that you give these bangles to Prabhupada.
तो मैंने फटाफट चूड़ियाँ उतार के दे दी. गुरु जी बहुत खुश हुए.
So she immediately gave the bangles to Prabhupada and Prabhupada was very happy. He basically, Prabhupada said that he is very happy because Radharasthari temple fund has started with a pure thing, that's gold, and not the note, not the currency note. So he was very happy that day.
So
he was very happy that the temple fund started with gold and not the paper money. And if I can just add, when the Heaven on Earth project was going on, even that time, grandmom and grandfather had just gone to visit the temple because it was being inaugurated elaborately. There were a lot of guests, chief guests and political people who had come. So grandfather did not really want to go in that crowded area. So he just said, I'll go and I'll take darshan of Radharasvihari and I'll come. And it so happened when they went over there, they took the darshan of Radharasvihari and they both were coming out. And that time, Mahamantra Prabhu, from then he was even over here, and he was carrying a huge thal. And basically he was saying that we want to start the inauguration of the temple fund, you know. And Mr. D.B. Gupta and all the dignitaries were there. And he saw grandmom and grandfather, he directly came to them. And that time also grandmom gave the bangles over there. So Heaven on Earth was the starting school. grandfather was really happy that he did not expect this, but the arrangements just fell in place. Prabhupada just wanted this day those to start with gold, so it just happened.
So my first thought coming before the altar here was how we used to do kirtan here, especially the Radha Madhav Prem Shuddha Sankirtan Mandali. They would do 12 hours of Khandi Kirtan every Sunday from 6 to 6. And then from 6 to 8 they would do Braj songs. And Mr. Sethi approached me in the last month of Srila Prabhupada's stay with us that generally we do this at different Grihastha's homes, but why don't we do it at the temple? And I said yes. Although before that, we did it here in front of this altar. So, they came and they were in the small temple, and Srila Prabhupada was upstairs in the tower, in his new quarters, and he was hearing, and they sang with tremendous devotion. Even these pictures, that sort of Raj style of picture. Their guru was, the guru of that group was from Raj. And, so Mr. Sethi was upstairs with Srila Prabhupada and they were doing kirtan and they wanted some reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada. But he was very ill, he couldn't come down. And the lift wasn't working, and there were too many of them, they couldn't go up. So eventually he came to the balcony, and they came out of the temple and they were doing kirtan under the balcony. And just tremendous feeling in the kirtan. And then usually the highlight after the regular kirtan was over, one lady would sing songs, and especially she was famous for singing Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. And Mr. Sethi said that when she was singing that down in the temple room, tears were just streaming down Srila Prabhupada's cheeks upstairs. So I think we can conclude with a little kirtan. Who will lead? There will be many different opinions. Varun?
Okay.
And then maybe afterwards, Radhika, can you sing the Nishinga prayers? We have a visiting devotee from California, Radhika, and she's being trained in classical singing and dance, and so we'll ask her to sing a little too.